How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
In the bookstore, you can get your copy of The Commands of Christ, seven volumes for $49. That's the curriculum for Wednesday nights. We're not starting it immediately, but in a couple of Wednesday nights, it will be the curriculum for the rest of the year. It's the curriculum for families. For those of you who got the report in the mail and you saw what we're doing this coming year and what we've done for the last 3 years in terms of teaching, you'll want to get a copy of that so you can stay ahead of it. All right, our subject today is how to conquer moods. I'm going to give you about 40 seconds to read the first paragraph in your notes. Just look up when you're done. I'll know you're done that way. Amen. God does not want you to live a victim of moods. In addition, He doesn't want your spouse or your children to be victims of your moods either. Well, we got an amen corner front and back here, left and right. Now, you men may think that this sermon is for women. It is not. It's for men as much or more than it is for women. So now you know where the real amen corner is. Now, this is a serious problem because it leads to what's called, the modern medical people call it bipolarism. In fact, we're going to deal from a biblical perspective with bipolarism next Sunday morning. In fact, next Sunday morning, you're going to get the detail. Today, you're going to get an overview. But I want you to see what God says. Look at Scripture now. When men are cast down, you ever been there? Ever been sad for a length of time? Ever been in sorrow? When men are cast down, thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. Isn't that good news? Now, you may be down sometimes, but God doesn't want you to stay down. What a neat scripture that John 10:10 is. I want you to have life, and I want you to have it more abundantly. He shall save. Save you from what? Save you from this casting down. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. Let me just stop for a moment. Because when you get in a down mood that leads to depression, it's like you're on an island. You are alone. Nobody goes there with you. God says, when there's a casting down, there's a lifting up. You need to tell each other there's a cure. There's a lifting up, and He will save you from the casting down. And He shall deliver you from the island. and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. We're going to see how this works eventually. Now, you've got this in your notes, so you don't have to write it down, but a mood, this is just right out of the dictionary, a specific coloring, a frame of mind, a state of feeling, the disposition of one's humor. Notice, just for the Canadians here, we spelt this the Canadian way. A temperament at a certain time. Fits of variable or unaccountable temper. Melancholy, gloomy, bad-tempered, lamenting, or mourning. These are some of the straight out of the dictionary definitions. Now, I want to talk just briefly about why this is important that you conquer moods. Moods can last a long time. And it is oppressive. And you can be a very wise person. You can be an intelligent human being. And still suffer from the oppression that comes from melancholy and moods and discouragement. If we don't learn to deal with our moods and the oppression that comes from it, even though you're a wise person, they tend to make a wise man mad. Now, this is not angry mad. This is mentally deficient. The devil intends you to be down and stay down the rest of your life. He wants you to be a question mark and not an exclamation mark. He wants to steal from you. And you will, by times, wonder if you are even sane. Because the oppression that comes from melancholy and moods is so oppressive that it affects you mentally. Now, I want to show you something. I'm going to switch softwares. And here we are in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. I want you to see this verse of Scripture. Ready? Watch this now. The Lord says He wants us to receive the end of our faith. Now, watch this now. What is the end of your faith? What is the goal of your faith? Even the salvation of your soul. The soul is the part of you that enables you to feel. And God wants every single one of us to be emotionally healthy. He wants your soul in good shape. He doesn't want moods to bury you into mental and emotional discouragement and depression. He intends to help you with that. And we're going to see that in a few moments. We're going to see it more clearly next Sunday. But the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. So let me just show you this. This is the main diagram that we will use next week. Notice up here is, I've got the wrong color, elation. And down here is depression. You can't see my yellow up here because it disappears. And so there's highs and there's lows. They are opposite to one another. Moods tend to be always down here. And in fact, the question is, if this were on your page, and I ask you to diagram where do you live, and take the last month of your life and put your month on here, notice that the green from the green area here down to the blue area here, as you're going to see, this is the main area where God wants us to live. I'm going to show it to you right out of the Bible next Sunday morning. And I'm going to show you how God intends that while you are to live primarily here, and I'm sorry about my color. I'm not going to change it because God wants us to reach way up here into the elation by times. Let me tell you, let me give you scripture for it. You ready for this? He made you to ride upon, what is it? The high places of the earth. He don't want you living low. He wants you living high. And God's intention is for us to learn to live in the main, right in the middle here, like this. And to peak periodically up here. The problem is some people might start off here, but they dip here. And they might get back up here for a while, and then they might go down here and stay for a long time. And it's possible to live your life emotionally in this condition that we describe, psychologists describe as depression. And these, let me give you some definition for this. Up here in elation, it's an increased physical mental activity, and there's lots of energy, heightened mood, optimism, and confidence. But down here, prolonged sadness, irritability, anger, worry, agitation, anxiety, pessimism, indifference. Don't worry about getting this down because you're going to get this diagram in detail next Sunday. Lethargy, feelings of worthlessness and guilt, inability to concentrate, and decisiveness. And so what we're going to learn, and we're going to have a scriptural definition next Sunday morning, of exactly this range here that we're to live in. But today we want to talk about how to conquer some of these moods. So I'm going to show you some, give you some tips today. And the main essence, though, is next Sunday morning. Don't miss next Sunday morning because it's where the crunch comes. Some scriptural tunes terms that indicate moods. Number one, the word we used already, downcast. Why art thou cast down? Now, look at this. This is about the soul. Oh, my soul. Why are you depressed? Why are you discouraged? Why are you thinking bad thoughts about yourself? Why have you got fear? Why do you hurt? Why do you have anxiety? Why art thou cast down, oh, my soul? So this is a term that refers to a depressed mood. Another one is a spirit of heaviness. Look at this. My soul, the part that enables me to feel, melts for heaviness. Heaviness comes on us. And we don't understand sometimes where it comes from. Sometimes we do and can't do much about it. That's why we want to learn what to do about it. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And this is an extended time of deflation. To be disquieted. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? The word disquieted means to be upset or in a commotion. I want you to know that God is interested in you receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul, so that you don't live in this commotion, this disquieted condition, overcome by moods. Oppression is another word. Well, what are some of the causes of moods? So, yeah, we're going to go fast right now. Ready? The first one is our thoughts. Ted Corley, maybe Wednesday night, he'll tell you a little thing he got picked up this week. But all I remember is the one phrase in his stinking thinking. But your thoughts can take you into a mood if you do not control your thoughts. We're going to show you that in a moment. Now, very quickly, I'm going to review with you a diagram, and I left you space for you to put this diagram in. Now, watch the diagram with me. You cannot prevent thoughts. Thoughts come from what you see, smell, taste, feel, and hear. Thoughts come from memory. Thoughts come from Satan. Thoughts come from God. Thoughts come from other people. You cannot prevent thoughts. They come at you from every which direction. However, watch this now. If you think on the thought, if you receive the thought and you think on it, it will always produce a feeling. Feelings come from thinking thoughts. Like a trailer follows the towing vehicle, Your feelings always, wherever the thoughts go, feelings follow. Feelings come from thinking thoughts. You think a lust thought, you'll get a lust feeling. You think a loving thought, you'll get a loving feeling. You think a kind thought, you'll get a kind feeling. Because feelings come from thinking thoughts. Don't miss this. This is really important. This is basically straightforward. You'll understand it. So if you think on a thought, it produces a feeling. And the feeling will always lead to an attitude and or an action. Attitudes and or actions. So if you think a lust thought, you get a lust feeling, produces a lust attitude. A lust disposition, a lust action perhaps as well. If you think a forgiving thought, you get a forgiving feeling, leads to a forgiving attitude, a forgiving disposition. So watch this now. Thoughts come at you. If you think the thoughts, they produce feelings. The feelings lead to attitudes and actions. And the attitudes and actions lead to one of two things. Either a sense of right, depending on the nature of the thought, or a sense of wrong, which is guilt. And this is the pattern. Now watch with me. Watch the diagram with me now. Guilt always leads to depression. And watch this. This thing has a way of coming back and feeding through here again. Produces another feeling of like kind. And another one. And around we go. And this is what we discover is a habit, a repeated behavioral disposition, emotional mood condition that comes from repeating the same thought patterns over and over and over again. Now, watch the diagram one more time. Let's suppose in the thought that you were thinking about was a right thought and a good thought, and it produces a good feeling, which leads to a good attitude and action and a sense of rightness. And this rightness produces, guess what? Elation. A sense of well-being. Now watch this now. And this equally feeds back here and through and around, and we develop a new habit. And this is what's referred to, if you want to understand it in Scripture, in the 7th chapter of Romans. There's an old man and there's a new man. And it's an old manner versus a new manner. It's an old habit versus a new habit. So thoughts cause moods. And they can either give you moods of elation or moods of depression and so on. We repeat. So thoughts. And then your present life background. I couldn't think of a better term for this. A present life background. So let me diagram this for you as well. Just to your left in your notes, make sure you put this diagram. Because we are largely influenced by our life backgrounds, at least until real redemption takes place. Now this, I have a picture of Daniel. If it were Daniel, it would look different. This guy would be smiling. Right, Daniel? It was the no hair thing that you said. That's what got me, Daniel. All right, now watch this. Because here you are. Here I am. And we live with a background behind us. An emotional background, if you please. A mental disposition behind us. And watch this now, because what happens is that this background affects us. It's always there. It's in the background. But it affects our subconscious and feeds us often negative things versus positive. Now, let me just do the diagram again. Let me just show you now. So here's this background that's feeding into your life. And I want to name some of them. I've left you a few. And these are only some of them. But you can have a background of fear. You can live with that emotional background, and you try to work, and you go to your place of business, and you talk to people, you come home, you're with the family, but in the background, sometimes it's inexplicable. You don't even know where the fears come from. In fact, that's why Wednesday night we're dealing this week with the 7 kinds of fears identified in the Bible that affect your health, what the solutions are. But fear is a background, creates a sense or mood in us, and we don't really know what's coming because we're living today right now, but it's our background feeding into us. Or it could be guilt, unresolved guilt. Aren't you glad that God comes to deal with all of these things? He's not given us a spirit of fear. It's easy to say that, but it's another thing to get rid of it. We're going to tell you how to do that. A sense of failure. Ever failed in your life? I'm dealing with a young man now. Got out of college, went into business, made it big. Sold his business, and been doing drugs for 3 years. And snorted, sniffed, shot up all the money from his business. I want you to keep in your prayers. I'll see him tomorrow. The battle he has right now is not a drug problem. Oh, that's one of the problems, but you can get over drugs real fast. Hey, we have a Savior. Amen. You can be a drug addict 1 minute and absolutely clear the next moment and free. But the background doesn't disappear as quickly. And his sense of failure, the embarrassment with his family and friends, the background keeps feeding us. Wrong music can be the background. Wrong music, you don't understand, you're depressed. And it could be the wrong kinds of music. And I could go through, we haven't got time to teach on that, but you know well that we cover that from time to time. Busyness. That's the hectic thing, remember, from first Sunday of January. It's just the background. We live super busy lives, and we don't understand why we feel the way we are. And the fact is, we're just too busy. You can live in a clutter. Your home, your bedroom, your office. And you don't understand why you feel the way you do, because you don't understand the psychological connection between the clutter and how you feel. That's why we teach how to live clutter-free. We teach here how to cleanse your home. Every year we do a house cleansing. Clutter. I guess maybe I'm a little more sensitive because my wife's an interior designer. Imagine how enticing it would be for you to buy a home if when you walked into the model it was just clutter. You probably wouldn't even think about buying that house. People walk into homes designed by her, and they feel better. She happens to believe that God designed people to live in a garden. So there's lots of plants and lots of flowers and lots of God stuff. But if you live in a clutter, the emotional impact on your mood can be tremendous. Unfinished tasks is a lousy background, stuff hanging over your head that didn't get done. And it affects us, affects our moods, affects us psychologically. Slothfulness is another one. Laziness, if that's... If you live with threats, abuse, emotional threats, and that's in the background because it's never been resolved. Nobody withdrew the threat. Nobody apologized for the threat. Nobody asked forgiveness. Your employer is always threatening to take your job. Your spouse, your parent. Living in a threat causes internal damage. And you can't You don't know why you feel the way you do. And you end up pointing fingers at yourself. Because that's a background. Hopelessness. It's a nasty background. You work and you try to get ahead, but in the background is a sense that it's never going to work. You can have imaginations. They're very real, even though they're not real. But an imagination can create tremendous psychological disturbances and emotional bondages. Accusations. What a nasty way to live. If they're the background. And you know what? The accusations may not be today's accusations or this last month's accusations. But you show me the child that lived with constant accusation for the first 10 years of his life. I'll show you an adult that's got a background that's still mentally disturbing till this day. You see, there is one that accuses us. Anybody knows his name? Satan. It's the devil. The Pharisees were religious people that were always pointing their fingers. Jesus never did that. You never saw Jesus' finger like this. It was always his arms like this. But if you have lived, no matter who it comes from, it might have come from a childhood buddy who told you you were stupid. The old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, is not true. That's why the scripture says, among us, dear brothers and sisters, let everything be done to edification, to the building up of one another, not the tearing down, to putting together, not pulling apart. So let the preacher preach, but be sure that the message is one that's intended to lift us up and encourage us and strengthen us and able to live a better day tomorrow than we lived yesterday. Ill thoughts. You name any kind you want. They lurk in the background. Ill will. Pain. Pain is the background. We learn, we'll maybe cover that on a Wednesday night. The lack of clear goals. So the background is just fuzzy. I mean, where we're going, it's just, our life is not defined. We don't know where we're going. Our lack of purpose. Haven't learned yet the wonderful secret that God has a wonderful plan for your life. For you personally. Different than for me. Different plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. This is his own. Dear friends, dear beloved, this is a magnificent truth. The problem is the modern preachers have changed the message from God has a plan for your life to saying that God has a wonderful life for your plan. And that's the false gospel that has been infiltrated the church and has spread coast to coast and border to border. Somebody said you'd never make it. Negative predictions. The opinions of others. Oh, what a slavery that is. Evil spirits. And lastly, temptation. So, what causes moods? Wrong thoughts, our present life backgrounds. Sometimes it's unresolved spiritual business. We haven't taken care of business. I'll name a couple here. Unforgiveness of another person. If we haven't taken care of business there, boy, before you offer anything else at this altar, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer what you're going to offer. That's how high important. If you forgive not men their trespasses, you're not forgiveness. So you're not forgiven. So we got this lurking, unfinished spiritual business that causes damage. We resist reconciliation. Here's the scripture here. Leave your gift. Go be reconciled to your brother. Whatever it takes to get reconciled, go do it. But we don't reconcile. We just sort of ignore it, but it causes moods, and we don't even know it. Insincere repentance. Repent. Be converted. Now watch this. Two things happen. What happens when you repent? Number one, your sins get blotted out. Is that ever good, huh? I mean, they're gone. They're blotted out. Take your clothes to the cleaners and you had a stain and they're gone. Where's the stain gone? I don't know, but it's gone. That's what sin is like, stains. Then he blots it out, takes it out, doesn't exist anymore. What's the second thing that happens when you repent? Not only do your sins get blotted out, but look at times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Every time a sinner repents, every time I repent, every time you repent, God brings a refreshing to us. I say there is a building up, but not a tearing down. There is redemption. Failure to fully confess sins or faults. Look at this. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Look at this. Look at this now. That you may be healed. Stuff needs to get fixed. One of the ways to get things fixed is if you've wronged, to ask forgiveness. Get forgiveness for faults. Lack of restitution. Stole a car yesterday. You repent today. What do you do with the car? You had to return the car. And so Zacchaeus said to the Lord, if I've taken anything from anybody by false accusation, I'm going to give them back four times as much. And Jesus' response is, wow, today salvation's come to your house. Not just to you, but your whole house is going to be saved because of this sincere restitution. Secret sins, unresolved spiritual business. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Iniquity. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. So these are unresolved spiritual business. Another cause is associations. Certain other people can cause you to have moods. We're going to get this in detail right out of the Bible so clearly next Sunday morning. You may not know that the mood, the depression you got comes from somebody else. May not recognize that the association. But watch this now. You see, whatever we have is contagious. If you are enthusiastic when you meet somebody else, your enthusiasm will spill over to them, right? But you can hang around with people and their stuff can get on you if you're not careful. Everybody understand what I'm saying here? Look at this. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The wisdom will rub off. Watch this. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And there you can, by wrong associations, and so you need to get the tape on the 16 principles of friendship. A lack of spiritual focus. Whose despises the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. A lack of spiritual focus. Now, there are certain ways that people respond to moods that don't work. I'm going to name some of them, okay? Next week I'll give you biblical terms for these. But number one, some people think that alcohol and drinking will help them with their mood. By the way, are you in a good mood? Watch this now. Some people don't worship unless they get in the mood first. Did you hear what I said? A person who only worships when he's in the mood to worship is not worshiping even when he's in the mood. Because, you see, we offer the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips giving thanks. We don't have to be in the mood to say, oh, God, you're wonderful. You should not have to be in the mood to look at your wife and say, I love you. Now, if you say it enough times, she might get in the mood. But you have to be in the mood. I don't have to be in the mood to do things. Now, I'm going to tell you what. This is one of the curses of the present condition of America right now. People only do what they're in the mood for. This leads to what we call mood manipulation. So, you're not in the mood to buy. Well, watch a few minutes of television and you'll soon get in the mood. That's what commercials are designed to do. They're designed to get you in the mood to buy products. This is how seduction takes place. Do you manipulate the mood? And thus, what we really have happening in America is widespread victimization. Everybody's just glandularly operated. They think it's their glands, but their glands have been manipulated and they have to be in a mood. Alcohol doesn't work. Drugs, they call them mood-altering drugs. Go to the doc, tell him you got depression. He'll say, well, it'll get better. And if you come back and you tell him a second time, he said, well, I'll give you any name of drug. And if that doesn't work, we got all kinds of stuff to change your mood. We have scientific names for them now. We have scientific names for the moods. We're going to get into some of those next week. The problem is, the issues don't get fixed. We can alter the sense of the mood. We can give you a mood-altering drug that will make you feel elated when you're really depressed. But guess what? The facts are still the same. Your life is not enhanced. Nothing's changed. So these are artificial means to change mood, medications. Let me go over here for a moment. Let me look up the clock. That's what I should do. Okay, I think I can do this. What did I just do? Let's go over here to Revelation chapter 9. Let's go to the 18th chapter instead. They're talking about what's going to happen in the end time. I want you to notice this. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Okay, now watch this. I'm going to click over here and bring you up to Strong's Concordance. All right. So this number in front is the Strong's Greek number, and I click on that, and it opens a window here. The word for sorcery is pharmakei. Can you see it there? It's a little small. It's translated. It's a word from which we get pharmacy, medication. That in the last days, one of the biggest signs will be the deception that comes from medications. Pharmacies. People think they're in the right minds when they're not. Widespread. Now, don't get me wrong. In emergency situations, we have wonderful drugs and medications that are necessary to save, preserve life. But they were never meant to be a way of life. A substitute for dealing with stuff, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. So, if you have down moods, don't use the medication route. Well, let me just get through this fast. Eastern concepts of meditation, and boy, we could spend some time there. This doesn't work. Spiritism, it's a trap. Some people just put up with their moods. That's not a solution either. And then, of course, there's the psychological methods of dealing with such: denial, repression, regression, sublimation, reaction formation, rejection. And for those of you who have a little bit of psychology background, you know what all these are. I added a new one to the list. Anybody who's here at Wednesday night will understand why. Eating can be a wrong response to depression. Discouragement. Wayne, isn't it nice to see Wayne here this morning? We've been praying for Wayne. He's been in the hospital, had pneumonia, and you okay now? We're so glad. I don't know how that came up. I just happened to look up and see you, Wayne, and glad that you're here. Okay, how are we going to conquer moods? Now, I'm going to give you a short course this morning. You're going to get the detail next Sunday morning, okay? I think it's short. How many got faith it's short? Nobody. Okay. First thing you need to do is realize that God wants you mood-free. He doesn't want you ruled by mood. Isn't that good news? He doesn't want the people around you ruled by your moods either. He's got compassion. God wants you to be mood free. Now watch the scripture. God that comforteth those that are cast down. That's what God does. That's why the Holy Spirit's called a comforter. He comes to comfort those that are cast down. He comes to lift up the fallen. He comes to encourage the discouraged. In fact, if you go to Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the God of all mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, so that we can conquer, so we can comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. So here's this wonderful God doesn't want you a victim of moods. And I really wish I was preaching next Sunday morning, this morning, because this is so good news. Now, second thing, you need to realize that often God uses others to help you conquer moods. Now watch this. The God, same verse of scripture, that comforteth those that are cast down. Look at this scripture now. Comforted us by the coming of Titus. So not only does God comfort people from their casting down, their emotional depression, discouragement, but he uses other people to do that. And next Sunday morning, when I take you through the scriptures and the book of Psalms, to discover how to recognize true friends, part of it is based on how they affect your moods. We'll see that in clear. But God uses others. Thirdly, you need to change your thoughts. Thought we talked about a moment ago, the thoughts being the problems. And remember this diagram? Hope so. All right, let me show you four biblical steps real fast on how to change your thoughts. Are you ready? This scripture is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6, I think is, and I've got myself located properly. In fact, I'll tell you what, let's go to the scripture. Let's get rid of Strong here for a moment. And let's put in 2 Corinthians 10. Get this little box out of the way here. This is really important. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Watch this now. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds cause depression, Now watch this, because here we get the instruction on what are these mighty weapons. Here, are you ready? Number one, casting down imaginations. Let's go back to the diagram. Here we go. Cast down imagination. So a thought comes at you, or an imagination comes at you. Watch this. If you don't think about it, if you don't bring it into your mind and think about it, it cannot produce feelings, attitudes, actions, or a sense of guilt. So we are to cast down imagination. Now the scripture is going to show you in a moment what imagination. In fact, let's go back to the scripture. The second thing, well, back here. And the second thing, cast down every high thing that's contrary to the knowledge of God. Look at this now. Number one, cast down imaginations. Secondly, also, you cast down also everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I don't know where my Bible got to here. This is the knowledge of God. So any imagination or any thought or anything that is contrary to the Word of God, to the knowledge of God, okay, what we are to do with that is really simple. Whoops. We are to cast down not only imaginations, but every, and that word every is really important. Because if you take something into your mind that shouldn't be there, it's going to produce a feeling, going to lead to an attitude and action, and it's going to create this condition, right? So how do you change your thoughts? You cast down imaginations. You cast down every high thing that contrary to the knowledge of God. Let's go back to the scripture. And thirdly, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what the third thing is, every thought that should come into our mind that has to do with obeying Jesus is the thought you should bring in. Everything else you should keep out. And the thoughts of Jesus that you keep in your mind, we are to hold them captive. Don't let them escape. Hold on to that thought. Discard the imagination. In your mind, the thoughts that have to do with obeying Jesus. Whoa. Do y'all see now that if you do this, that if every thought you think that comes from Jesus, every feeling you have will be a Jesus kind of feeling. And every Jesus kind of feeling is going to do a Jesus attitude and a Jesus kind of action. And that's going to produce a sense of rightness, a sense of elation, and you get to live. Oh, yeah, are you getting this? This is how you ride upon the high places of the earth. That's why we're up and not down. That's why we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're not down there looking up. We're up here looking down. Because every thought. Now, see, that's not very easy to do. I guess so. Let's go to the fourth one. You need to establish a criteria for thought selection. In other words, notice here. I put this little grid in here. I just want to draw your attention to this little grid here. Every thought must pass through this grid. And if the thought doesn't meet the criteria of this grid, then it shouldn't be allowed in our mind. And so what is that grid? Let's go to Philippians 4:8. Now watch this now. Is that big enough print for you to see at the back? Can you see at the back? Finally, my brethren, another. Whatsoever things are true. So the first thing, in order to be accepted in your mind, a thought must be true. That eliminates a lot of commercials on television and a lot of news. It has to be true. Secondly, whatsoever things are honest. It has to be honest as well. It must not just be true. It must be honest. And whatsoever things are just. There's the third part of your grid. It must be just. Must be fair. According to the principles of justice. Whatsoever things are pure. Must be pure. Not filthy. There are some filthy things that are true, but you should not think of them just because they're true. They have to be true and honest and pure. If it isn't pure, it doesn't get in. Look at this. And whatsoever things are lovely. If it isn't lovely, don't think on it. And whatsoever things are of good report. And if there's virtue. And if there's praise in it. Now look at this. Look at this. Think on these things. This is the stuff that should. This is the grid. This is what determines what thoughts we allow and what thoughts we don't allow. Everybody with me there? I mean, I'm trying to give you an hour and 10 minutes. But we set this Philippians 4 grid up here. And we establish this criteria that if a thought, any thought that comes, whether it comes from something I see, smell, taste, feel, or hear, whether it comes from memory, comes from God, comes from Satan, comes from another person, or something I could dream up myself. Every thought must be, all of that criteria must be true, honest, pure, lovely, of good report, full of virtue, full of praise, and it must be just. And if thoughts are screened, and all, watch this now, if all thoughts that don't meet this criteria are cast down and not allowed in, and the only thoughts that get in are thoughts that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and full of virtue and full of praise, can you imagine what mood you will be in all the time? Because your feelings and your attitudes and actions, well, I don't know, you already got enough. You'd go home right, don't go home right now, but if you did go home right now, you'd have a load. All right. Change your life backgrounds. The reason I'm not spending any time on that is I'm going to show you exactly from Scripture next Sunday morning how to change your life backgrounds. Because this is probably one of the most difficult things to do. Changing your thoughts, simply a matter of knowing what to cast down and what to take in based on the criteria. But how do you change the background of your life, especially when you didn't control the background and you didn't put it there to begin with? And I want you to know that God has wonderful remedy for changing your life background. Take care of spiritual business. Whatever you haven't got done, get done. If you sin against somebody and go ask them forgive, get it, get rid of it. It may require changing your associations. The people that you are in proximity to who drag you down. Now, these are things that are easy to say than do. Again, we're going to get to the detail of this, really, next Sunday morning. Keep a spiritual focus. The number of, place your hope in God. Now, I'm calling it hope this week. Next week, I'm going to show you how God actually fulfills your hope. Look at the Scripture with me before we go on. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Here's the answer. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And next week I'm going to show you what the help of his countenance is. And how God has designed that if you put your hope in him, he will never disappoint you. In fact, one of the great secrets of staying up and not down is keeping your expectations only in the Lord. My expectation is of the Lord, and He will never fail. Look at this. Lord, Thou art a shield to me. You're my glory, and You are the lifter of my head. I'm going to say how that works next week. Now, it helps to remember God's past faithfulness. Now, watch this. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. I'm in a rotten mood. So what do? Therefore will I remember Thee. And then he lists the events that God participated in his life, from the Jordan, the crossing of the river, to the hill of Mizar. Because remembering God has a way of picking you back up after you're down. My soul is cast down, therefore will I remember. You know something really interesting? Is this command to remember is repeated scores of times in the Bible. God is always telling us to remember, because we can get off in the hectic of life and forget. Here's one of them. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. It'll help you conquer moods. And then develop specific character qualities, and I didn't want to spend much time on this. I mentioned two of them only here. Orderliness. Arranging myself and my surroundings in order to achieve maximum efficiency. Orderliness is. Diligence. But the reason I'm leaving this out and not spending, there's 49 character qualities here, and we could go on here for a long time. And the reason I'm leaving it out is because beginning in about two Wednesdays or so, we're starting, and I'll give you the details on this later, we're starting on our Wednesday nights. The teaching on Wednesday night will become the curriculum that I would like all of you to use in your homes all week long. Every night at the supper table, and there are 49 commands of Christ, and there is a character quality associated with each of the commands. So in that given week, you will learn, everybody in your family will learn the character quality and its definition for that particular week that goes along with that command of Christ. Those resource books for fathers are available. The seven volumes, seven commands, and each of the seven volumes bring us to 49 commands, and 49 character qualities will coincide, and this has a tremendous effect on moods. Learn to put on the garment of praise. And I hate to, I sound like a commercial for next Sunday morning. Going to learn how to do that. Unto them that mourn in Zion, give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. Oh, I wish I were next Sunday morning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, I'm almost to the conclusion. I'm really working to get efficient here. There are ingredients here that you will get the details on next Sunday morning and the scriptures for them. Remember the opening diagram I had where I had the yellow at the top and the red at the bottom. The red is depression and the top is elation. And we live in the green-blue zone in the main. Sometimes we peak to elation. Sometimes we live a lot of elation. And sometimes we do go down there, but we don't want to stay down there. That middle zone is defined in the scripture. It says it's a place where your soul, let me give you the three descriptions. The little, what do you call that? forerunner of what's coming next Sunday. The soul is to maintain this middle position, and it's described three ways in the Bible. It says, number one, the soul is to be at rest. That middle thing is a peaceful area to live in all the time. Second, is to be accompanied by and identified by joy. And you're going to see the condition of your soul should not only be restful, but it should be joyful. This is normal Christian living. You don't have to reach up to get joyful once in a while. That is the middle. This is where we live, in the middle of this grid. Identified when your soul is at rest and your soul has joy. And the third thing that identifies the soul that's living in the middle proper range is your soul constantly gives off praise. And those are the three identifiers of the soul in good condition. And what I'm trying to get to this morning is, I have such zeal for you this year of 2006. And my zeal for us is that we would have the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, our feeling part of us, so that we all live consistently in the range of a soul that's at rest, that soul that is full of joy, and the soul that gives off praise automatically. That you don't have to be put in a mood to give off praise. You don't have to change your mood to have joy. That this is the constant. You don't have to change your mood to have rest. This is the normal place we function. And my zeal for you is that every single one of you would experience in the depths of your soul, where nobody else understands how you feel. Nobody else really knows the things unless what the thoughts you think unless you tell them. And sometimes that can be a pretty scary thing to do, and most of us hide an awful lot. But my zeal for you is that we would get the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. And yes, you might get depressed for 20 minutes. You might go in a downer mood for an hour. But that's not where God wants you and your family to live. God wants you to live where the evidence of this middle position is, number one, restful. Non-hectic. Got it? Restful. Number two, joyful. Joyful means full of joy. And thirdly, giving off praise spontaneously. Your soul now just blesses the Lord automatically, and you don't have to be in, that's the mood all the time. You don't have to come to church and get cranked up before we worship. You only need to be given an opportunity because you're living here. The hardest thing that a pastor has to face on a Sunday morning is people who come to church. Remember the grid? Yellow up here and red down here and the depression down here. Is to come to church and face a group of people or a number of people in the congregation who are so down in the red zone and only peek to the green blue, and then conduct the worship service. Because worship doesn't occur. Praise doesn't happen. Because we've got business. We've got a troubled soul. And the trouble of the soul needs to be dealt with. And that's what we're going to begin next week. How to deal with a troubled soul. And I want to suggest to you, fathers, listen to me, because you're the leader of the pack. You're the leader of your wife, and you're the leader of your children. And I can't tell you how important it is for you to so train your children so they live in this mentally healthy condition, this emotionally stable position in the middle. We don't have to deal with durations of depression. Oh, it happens once in a while, but there's quick fixes for that, biblical fixes. But God wants you to live here and to ride upon the high places. And I tell you what, listen to me, fathers, for a moment. If you'll train your children in the ways of God to live in this middle zone, they will never leave God. They'll never desert. They'll never run away from you because this red zone is out of bounds. We've got the victory over it. For the Lord says that when there's a casting down, there's also a lifting up. I'm not trying to get everybody high all the time. You'll have highs just by living normal. But normal seems to be high today because we live so much of this down in the dirt stuff, down in the red zone. So, excuse me, got a little carried away with next Sunday morning. This middle zone, we're going to learn how to live in that middle zone where the evidence of being in the zone is that your soul is saved from all the stuff that happens when you're down there. Your soul is saved. You're the feeling part of you, the part of you that feels, is consistent within a certain scope and dimension and jurisdiction, and it's evidenced by restfulness in your soul. We've got to learn. Amen. Thank you. People, that's good. There's a soul set free. I was about to say, you know, we need to learn to sing that song. Christy, Cynthia, and Heather, can we get it for next Sunday morning? Do you remember that song? It's the song of a soul set free. Do you know that song? We're going to learn it. We'll learn it then. Written by Oswald. You know, we'll get it. It's a song of the soul set free. I'm telling you what, God, this year, 206, I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that God's goal for you and me is that we have souls that are set free. Set free from this depression, this discouragement, this down. Three things will evidence it. Now here it is. The oil of joy and the garment of praise. Now watch, here's the prediction. Here's a prediction that the Lord gives us. Because if you'll get in this middle position where the joy, the oil of joy is there, all right? Instead of mourning, did you get it? Joy here instead of the mourning down here. Got it? Up here. Joy instead of mourning. Rest instead of pestilence. Now watch this. The garment of praise in the place of heaviness. When you get there, there will be certain results in your family and in your own personal life. Here's what they are. You will be called trees of righteousness. You will be called the planting of the Lord. And He will be glorified. Now watch this. And this condition is what will enable you to build the old waste places. And, watch this, you'll be able to build the old waste places, and look up, you will raise up the former desolations, and you'll repair the waste cities, and watch this now, you will terminate the desolations of many generations that are going to follow you. God, you say, we're not very many people here. But let me tell you something. About 50 years from now, should the Lord tarry, and don't think that He won't, because He might well do that. 50 years from now, when your children have grown up and have children, we may only be 100 now. But 50 years from now, we will be thousands. What will those thousands be like? What your children and your children's children will be like is going to be determined by whether or not we learn to conquer moods and conquer depression and discouragement and live in this healthy zone designed by God, where there's rest for the soul, where there's joy filling the soul, And where praise just comes out all the time. And it is going to affect and give the ability to stop the desolation that's been going on generations before you got here, so that the future generations are going to have a chance to be souls set free, at rest, full of joy, and the praises of God coming from their lips. So fathers, see the mission. Put on the garment of praise. Listen to holy music. Listen to holy music. And say, well, how do I know holy music? Well, I'll tell you, there's three ways you can identify holy music. Number one, the words will be holy. Number two, the sound will be holy. There are sounds that are not holy. There are sounds that are unholy. There are sounds that are sensuous. There are sounds that are psychologically upsetting. The music must be holy. The words must be holy. The sounds must be holy. And the performer's life must be holy. And that's what makes holy music. So unless you're going to make it yourself, and if you are going to make it yourself, that's good, go for it, do it. I do it, but I don't call it music. I call it a joyful noise. And I like doing it, and my wife is witness, and her noise is just as bad as my noise, so she doesn't mind my noise. And I love hers. David took a harp. Look at the scripture. And he started playing with his hand. And look what happened to Saul. He was refreshed. See, holy music will always refresh you. It'll heal you. And he was well. And number three, the evil spirit departs. It's what holy music does. How many have I got? 14? Need to listen to God. I'm not going to spend any time. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth the ears in oppression. Watch this now. I don't miss this. I want you to picture with me. I wish I had a big piece of cardboard with the yellow at the top and the red at the bottom, the blue and the green in the middle, and the elation and the depression written on. Everybody, can you see it? Can you see it? Yeah, you should use your imagination a little bit here. When you are in the red zone, one of the most important things you can do is listen to God. Because there's a voice speaking down there that's motivated to lift you up. There's a voice down there that you can trust. There's the voice down there that in the middle of the darkest of nights will bring a ray of light. There's a voice you can listen to. And yes, it won't be clamoring and loud like the rest of the voices that surround you. But you will hear. Not the clash of thunder nor the strike of lightning, but like the scripture says, you'll hear a voice, a small voice behind you, a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in this way. And I want you to know that the path of the Lord is going to lead you out of the depression, and he is going to deal bountifully with you. Listen to God. That's why Jesus said, be careful who you listen to. Take heed what you hear. know what he said? Take heed what you hear, for with whatever measure you hear, that's what's going to come unto you again. Most of us got down there because we didn't take heed who we were listening to. You listen to your peers, you listen to the street talk, you listen to the news, you listen... So instead, let's listen to God. Keep the word of God as your primary thought and focus. Your thought focus and as your life background. Detail, let me just conclude with this. Watch this. My soul melteth for heaviness. So what happens when your soul is down there? Here's what happens. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Well, today you got 5 sermons in 1. That's because, thank you. And next Sunday, you're going to get the next 5, okay? And then warning. Beloved, let me just have your attention for 1 more moment, and then we'll receive the Lord's tithe and go our separate ways. There's a lot at stake. You are very important. Getting your life back under God's control is the highest priority any of us should have. Please recognize that the enemy wants to rule and run and drive your life through moods. We instead don't live by our moods. We live by the Word of God. And the Word of God will set the mood. And the mood can be identified by rest, by joy, and by the giving off of praise to God. Would you bow with me just for a moment? Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these now. And in your name, Jesus Christ, we come against unholy spirits, damning, dirty spirits, depressing spirits, oppressing. And we rejoice because you've got a better plan, a better way for us to live as more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we will not be defeated. For we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, but today we have begun to learn some of the steps of setting our souls free. Free. At rest, full of joy, and easy to give off praise and worship. We men, God, I pray for the men. I pray, oh God, that you'd raise up these men to be mighty, conquering moods, demonstrating stability and leading their spouses and their children in the same. Because future generations depend on what we men do this week and this month and this year. So God, please come by the Spirit and fill us men with the Holy Ghost. and fill our wives and fill our children. So we'll learn not to be drunk with wine, where in excess, but to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. This is your way. And we ask you to help us to arrive there and live there the rest of our lives and get rid of the moods and the justifications for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.